This episode is brought to you by Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. In breaking news, leading scientists worldwide are conducting experiments to determine if Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the perfect combination of peanut butter and chocolate. However, it appears the study was inconclusive, as the scientists couldn't help but eat all the Reese's. Because when you want something sweet, you can't do better than Reese's. Find Reese's now at a store near you.
Blaze Radio Network.
And now, Chewing the Fat with Jeff Fisher.
Congratulations are in order to Jenny Berg, B-O-U-R-G. She has grown the largest head of cabbage in Louisiana. I know. Congratulations. Now, she lives in Berg, Louisiana, so the town is named after her. So that's kind of cool. I've never lived in a town that was named after my family. I like it. I thought Bergs were like the little places people live outside of the castle, right? But no. This is a town in Louisiana. Anyway, congratulations to Jenny for growing the new 44-pound cabbage. 44-pound cabbage. It looks pretty big. I remember looking at cabbages growing up when I was a kid. Everyone in my family had gardens, and they were, you know, pretty large. I don't know that they were, you know, 44 pounds large, but it's a saparo cabbage, and she grew it in her backyard of her home in Berg, Louisiana. Now, the 44.115 pounds cabbage with a 7 feet 2 inch circumference is a state record in Louisiana. However, the world record of cabbages was back in 2012 when a Scott Robb from Alaska grew a 138.25 pound head of cabbage. So Jenny's got some growing to do. But congratulations for being the largest cabbage in the state of Louisiana from the town of Berg, which is your family name. Congratulations, Jenny, for having the largest head of cabbage, you know, in your state. Not a world record, though. Welcome. Welcome to Chewing the Fat. Okay, we have got to talk about Alec Baldwin. Oh, we're still doing that? Okay, yes, I guess we decided that we have to, right? So anytime that we talk about Mr. Baldwin and I say his name, Alec, you will hear that. And if I say Alec Baldwin, you will hear that. It's just the way it is. You have to. And it's about the same case anyway. I've really done my best not to talk about him. There have been other stories about him that I've let go because I didn't want to bring him up. I was tired of him. I like his work, but his personal life, it's just agonizing. So he has been charged again in the shooting. He's been charged with involuntary manslaughter as prosecutors once again tried to seek to hold the actor accountable for the on-set death of cinematographer Helena Hutchins. Hutchins was preparing to film a scene with Alec, and the gun went off. Mr. Baldwin has maintained that he did not pull the trigger. Okay, I mean, that's what he said. And so now, you know, remember back in, I think, November, they said that the prosecutors had intended to begin presenting their case to a grand jury. And they did. And of course, they, you know, came back with enough to charge him. If convicted, he faces up to 18 months in prison. Remember way back, you know, last year when they dropped the initial charges, they commissioned a new analysis of the gun, along with other weapons and ammunition from the set of the movie. the movie Rust, which moved filming from New Mexico to Montana. It's, I believe all the shooting to that is done now completely 100%. I don't know if, I don't think it's anywhere you can see it yet. Well, I'm sure it's going to be great. The new gun analysis from experts in ballistics and forensic testing based in Arizona and New Mexico relied on replacement parts to reassemble the gun fired by Alec Baldwin. After parts of the pistol were broken during earlier testing by the FBI. Okay. So the new report examines the gun and markings it left on a spent cartridge to conclude that the trigger had to have been pulled or depressed. Okay. So here's the thing. This is what gets me. They used new parts on the gun, which in my mind makes it a completely different gun. It doesn't make it the same gun. If I'm Alec's attorney, I use that argument. I am not an attorney, so you know, maybe I don't know what the hell I'm talking about. But it just is incredible to me that we just keep hammering to bring him down. Look, it's a horrible thing that happened, no question. And they have already made some deals. I mean, the company Rust Movie Productions has paid a $100,000 fine to state workplace safety regulators following the, you know, narrative of safety failures in violation of standard industry protocols, including testimony that production managers took limited or no action to address two misfires on the set before the fatal shooting of Helena Hutchins and wounding director Joel Souza. Now, Hutchins' widower, Matthew Hutchins, filed a wrongful death lawsuit shortly after the shooting, but reached a settlement, and that settlement provided for insurance funds and a portion of the film's profits to benefit the couple's son, who was 9 years old when his mother was killed. Now, you know, again, the movie's done. So at the time of the settlement, Matthew Hutchins indicated he did not blame Baldwin for the shooting. So what is going on in New Mexico and Arizona? They're going to try to bring him down. I am a fan of Alec Baldwin's work, but he's such a douche in real life. But I don't, this is just insane to me that we cannot let this go. We have Hannah Gutierrez Reed, the weapons supervisor on the movie set, disclosed she has pleaded not guilty to involuntary manslaughter and evidence tampering in the case. Her trial was originally set to start in December, and now we say that it's going to start February 21st for that trial. Okay, so we'll see if we ever do get to that actual trial. I mean, by all accounts, it was a nightmare on the set of Rust. You know, people were out there having fun and just shooting up things and doing drugs, and how the live ammunition got on the set and in the actual gun that Alec was using, we may never know. But to try and convict him and give him 18 months in prison is not right. But hey, good luck. Good luck. I mean, we're seeing reports now. We talked about him selling his home in the Hamptons, right, for $10 million under asking price because he's looking to make some cash because he's got these legal bills. And it's being reported now that he's starting to go to fan conventions. He better start being nice to people. Make sure that when you go to these fan conventions, dear Alec, take your medication, because if not, we're going to get some great footage of you going crazy at these fan conventions. Now that is going to be fun to watch. So as I'm watching the news this past weekend and I see where nearly 50,000 households are without power in Oregon, and they declared a state of emergency. It got me thinking, what happens if these state of emergencies last longer than what we're used to, and you can't get to the pharmacy if you need medication for something? That is where you need the Jace case. It's a personalized emergency kit that contains five essential antibiotics that treat the most common and deadly bacterial infections. And Jace is continually working to expand their medication offerings. They've even added ivermectin as an option in the Jace case. This past December, drug shortages hit a record high, and this is causing severe disruptions in medical treatments. There are delays, treatment cancellations, and the unfortunate rationing of vital medications. Even drugs as important as the antibiotic amoxicillin are in short supply right now, along with 294 others. Doctors are even saying they've been forced to make impossible choices, including which patients will be prioritized to receive potentially curative therapy. Just, this is why you need the Jace case. Plus, you could buy a gift card for your family or loved ones so that they could get a Jace case of their own and personalize it to their own needs. Everyone should be empowered to care for themselves and their loved ones during the unexpected. Get yours today. Go to jacemedical.com. Enter the code Jeffy at checkout for a discount on your order. Promo code Jeffy, J-E-F-F-Y, at jacemedical.com. jacemedical.com. J-A-S-E medical.com. You know, speaking of those ice storms and cold weather, I've had enough. I know it's winter, but let's wrap it up. Let's wrap this thing up and get back to summer. I prefer being on the surface of the sun than being on the surface of some ice-cold planet without the sun reaching it. It's just agonizing. People are without power. There's been people, water mains are breaking, so people are on boil advisories. People are shoveling out football stadiums. Oh, don't even get me started on football. It was a great weekend, actually, of NFL games, but not every team won that I, kind of wanted to win. I really didn't have any kind of horse in the race. It was just fun to watch, and I was rooting for a couple of teams, and they didn't actually win. So there's that. I was really hoping that the Tampa Bay Buccaneers would beat the Detroit Lions. I didn't think they would, but I was, hoping that they would. They did not. I was really hoping that the Green Bay Packers would beat the San Francisco 49ers. I didn't think they would, but I was hoping that they would. No, they did not. I was really hoping that Buffalo would beat the Kansas City Chiefs. I wasn't sure about that game. I thought maybe this was their year that they could pull it out. It is not. Kansas City defeated them in Buffalo, even though, I know that they had brought the fans in to shovel off the stadium again at Highmark Stadium, but we don't need a roof in Buffalo. It's just unbelievable. And then, of course, I thought that Baltimore would roll, and they did. So now we've got the big championship weekend coming up. Baltimore Ravens taking on the Kansas City Chiefs, and the San Francisco 49ers taking on the Detroit Lions. And actually, it works the other way around. Detroit going into San Francisco, and Kansas City going into Baltimore. And so one of those four teams will be in the Super Bowl this year. So last weekend of football, aside from the Super Bowl 3 weeks from now, is this coming weekend. I don't know what to do. I don't have any college football on Saturdays. Now I don't even have NFL on Saturdays and Sundays. We just have two games this coming Sunday. I don't know what I'll do with myself. Let's go to the break room. I need something cold to drink desperately. All right, so we know the Sundance Film Festival is going on out there in Utah, and I just saw a short with Pauly Shore playing Richard Simmons titled The Court Jester, and it looked pretty good. It looked pretty good. I don't know if he's making Richard seemed like, a really kind of crazy person. We all know that he kind of is. I know that I saw where Richard Simmons himself has said that he has no ties with the Pauly biopic, So we'll see. Now, Richard's rep reiterated that they have nothing to do with this particular movie, and it isn't authorized. And also in the notes, it said Richard might not even be aware the movie's on the Hollywood conveyor belt at this point. So what is happening? Where's Richard Simmons? Let's get him out there. I know he's been missing for quite some time. Let's find him. I've got to do a, kind of a Richard Simmons special at some point. I was going through all the Richard Simmons sightings, and if he's alive and what happened to Richard Simmons. I mean, it's an incredible story. And the one time when he's coming back from the hospital and you can see new shoes, it's just a, it's an amazing story. But the Pauly Shore teaser, the court jester as Pauly is Richard Simmons. And I thought he did a pretty good job, actually. I don't know if we're blaming, if he, you know, if he's actually, if Richard was actually like this or not, but he certainly portrayed Richard in a way that I thought was Richard Simmons. And Pauly is a strange cat anyway. I remember meeting him once, so many years ago, a long time ago now. But I just remember coming out in the lobby of a radio station I was working at, and there's Pauly Shore sitting in the lobby, and I was just looking at his phone, looking down, and thinking, hey, Pauly Shore, what's up? How you doing? It's just incredible. This is really weird, that's all. Okay, I followed through on what I told you I would do. You're welcome. I started watching Beef this past weekend. If you're listening live, today is the 22nd of January, 2024. And I started watching Beef. Now, I, for whatever reason, every time it was mentioned in all of these series and winning awards and stuff, I didn't realize that my man Steven Yeun was one of the co-stars in Beef. I mean, you know, Steven from The Walking Dead. And I didn't realize that he has done, I mean, just a tremendous amount of work as a voice actor around, you know, around the world, actually. Good for him. But, I mean, he was part of The Walking Dead for six, seven years, something like that. I mean, his character is still referenced in the newer shows. You know, he died. I had to be a spoiler for you if you haven't seen it, but he died thanks to Negan. And his character is still referenced. He has a son in the stupid show after he died. Just anyway. So anyway, I was watching Beef. And it's okay. I like it. Ali Wong also co-stars in it. And it's, you know, about a road rage incident. And it, you know, escalates into a prolonged feud. And it shows how crazy people can become. And I'm a couple episodes in. I started watching it. And then, you know, I have football to watch. So let's move on with our lives. And so I'll finish it up. We'll see. I think there's like 8 or 10 episodes or something like that. And we'll get through it. I don't know. I feel like after the first couple episodes, I feel like the middle episodes, I don't know, like 3 through 9 are going to be like, okay, let's get to it. But we'll see. We'll see. I'll give it a chance. I enjoyed the first couple of episodes, so back off me. I haven't finished Reacher Season 2 yet, although I've kind of enjoyed the Season 2. Although I will say Season 2 does not feel like it's as good as Season 1 was. And I'm not really sure why that is. We brought in a whole team around him and we're having the flashbacks. And some of the lines are less than formidable. I don't know. It feels like it's not as good as Season 1. But I'm watching it and I love the character, so there you go. And True Detective started with, what's-her-face? You know, Jodie Foster. She is the lead in the show, and it's in some Alaska town. It's called, it's the season 4, I think, of True Detective. Night Country on HBO. I'm sorry, Max. It still says HBO Original, but it's on Max. It's really weird how they're doing that. Anyway, and it seemed pretty good. It's some crazy, they live in this Alaska town. It's a fictional town of Ennis, Alaska. Even fictional or not, I don't know why anyone would want to live there. And they're going into this investigation started just as the nighttime hits, where they have, I don't know, 1,000 months of darkness that, you know, there's no light. The sun goes away. Have a nice day. And so it's breaking down, you know, day three of the night. And it looks like it's going to be pretty crazy. So I'm looking forward to the rest of that. Jodie Foster, you know, I've always loved her work. So looking forward to the rest of True Detective Season 4. And I can't wait for the Jennifer Lopez movie to come out titled This Is Me Now, A Love Story. Now, they dropped a trailer for it. And the trailer is, wow. It's going to be on Prime. And I'll read you the review of the trailer, and I'll give you, then I'll tell you, you know, that I agree with the review. The only reason I'm reading you this is that I agree with it. So the Amazon Prime exec asked J-Lo what genre she wanted, and she simply replied, yes, it's a sci-fi epic, it's a gritty thriller, it's a romantic comedy, it's a steampunk action flick. It's a musical homage to Singin' in the Rain. It's every genre you can think of, all smashed into one. Okay, well, that doesn't sound like we're going to get what happened with Jenny on the Block becoming a worldwide phenomenon. So in one scene, I guess J-Lo faces an intervention from her friends for being a sex addict. In the next, J-Lo earnestly opens up about her insomnia in a support group meeting. In the next, she's swinging around a lamppost in the rain like Gene Kelly. Then suddenly she's flying through space. So, can't wait for the Jennifer Lopez movie, This Is Me, Now, A Love Story. I mean, I guess we're trying to be like Taylor and Beyonce, but this is supposed to, well, I'm sorry, it's not described as a movie, but as a narrative-driven cinematic original, and it showcases J-Lo's journey to love through her own eyes. It's a 65-minute special that will be released in tandem with Lopez's next studio album, This Is Me, Now. That is awesome. It's going to be fantastic is what it's going to be. It's going to be fantastic. You can count on that. Who died today? Well, let's begin with Adam Harrison, son of Pawn Stars Rick Harrison, dead at the age of 39. No, it wasn't that. He died of an overdose. So why don't you back away from that look, okay? It's very sad. Rest in peace to Adam Harrison, dead at the age of 39. Then we have former Olympic pole vaulter, world champ, Sean Barber. Sean Barber, dead at the age of 29. Don't even think that. She was experiencing poor health for some time and had fallen ill. She died at her home in Kingwood, Texas, from medical complications. So, no, it can't be that. Don't look at me like that, because if it was, they would have said it in the story. Then we have Mike Dixon, an Australian journalist, dead at the age of 59. He had covered Australia sports for a long time. Was in fact someone who went after Djokovic for not being vaccinated. So, does that mean that he was vaccinated? Yeah, probably. But it doesn't say that that's what did him in. So, if it was what did him in, they would have said it, right? They just said that he collapsed and died while in Melbourne, covering reporting on the Australian Open. So, if it was anything other than him just collapsing and dying, they would have said so, right? So quit looking at me like that. It's not that. Then we have another Who Died Today. It's like never ending. Mary Weiss, lead singer of the Shangri-Las, dead at the age of 75. Remember the Shangri-Las, number one single, Leader of the Pack, still here in movies all around the world. Yes, still there. Mary Weiss, lead singer of the Shangri-Las, dead at the age of 75. No cause of death has been reported. So why don't you just back off me, okay? It doesn't say that. Rest in peace, Mary Wise. And we have a couple things on life support. Sports Illustrated is definitely on life support. They laid off a bunch of people. Apparently the company, Authentic Brands Group, was supposed to make a $4 million payment a month or so ago. It didn't make that payment, which in effect broke a licensing deal that they had. So that means that everybody is got laid off. Now, the website and some of their other social media stuff is still going, so they're just on life support right now. We'll see. I know that Authentic Brands Group, I'm not sure what their deal is. I mean, they own a lot of stuff, and they own the intellectual property of Muhammad Ali, Reebok, and Elvis Presley, the king, which I did not, I should have remembered that Authentic Brands was definitely owned the intellectual property of the king. But we'll see. We'll see. Times are tough over there at Authentic Brands and Sports Illustrated. So life support is still ongoing. One more thing that's on life support, and that is tobogganing in Toronto. I know. You figure, hey, they got these small hills and kids can toboggan down them all they want. No. Toronto has recently erected warning signs on 45 hills around the city. Tobogganing is not allowed, okay? And the warning further clarifies that hazards such as trees, stumps, rocks, rivers, or roads make this hill unsafe. And the sign also includes a URL for a website, that's great, where kids can find one of 27 tobogganing approved hills. So if you want a toboggan and you're a kid, make sure you go to the right hill, the approved hill. It's funny, they don't even have a QR code. It's actually a URL for a website. That is awesome. So kids, you stop being kids. All right now, and you just know that these are not approved tobogganing hills. I don't know if the Toronto SWAT team comes out and puts the kids down if they're toboggan down a hill. I know, Jeff, stop it. That's not going to happen. Uh-huh. So we'll see. We'll see what happens in Toronto. But there's people that say, frankly, it's embarrassing. But it's still there. It's still there. Last year, this city put up bales of hay around the trees on the popular hill, on these popular hills in the city. But apparently, that's not good enough anymore. We're not putting hay up, bales of hay around trees on these hills. You know what we're going to do? We're going to ban you from riding your toboggan down the hill. Okay, kid? So don't look at me. Don't start whining. Don't whine that you can't go anyplace else and you're a little kid and you walk from your house, which is two blocks over. No. You go to one of the 27 approved hills or you don't do it at all. Okay? So get out of here. Like I said, tobogganing in Toronto on life support. And it almost feels like electric vehicles are on life support. I see where Ford has cut production of its electric truck. Huh. I feel like we talked about this, but adjusting to lower than expected customer demand. Wait, what? Yeah. Adjusting to lower than expected customer demand, Ford said, yeah, we're scaling back the output of our all-electric F-150 Lightning and moving 66% of the 2,100 workers from that factory that makes them to facilities that make gas-powered engines. Huh. That's really weird. Apparently, people want gas-powered engines. It's the latest automaker to hit the brakes on EV plans in the face of slow sales. Even though government is trying to nudge them forward. Well, duh. The rival automaker Stellantis cautioned against cutting EV prices too fast. Yeah, don't cut them too fast. No. Don't cut the prices, whatever you do. We don't want to have a sale on EVs. Don't do that. And that may not work either. I mean, that might work that people would buy them, but it's not going to mean that people want less gas-powered engines. Sorry about it. All you anti-fossil fuel people can block all the roads you want, which I don't advise. I believe that's a horrible thing to do. But you can block all the roads you want. People want fossil fuel run vehicles. Whether they're there on the highway to run over you or not, well, that's up to you, isn't it? So as I'm browsing the internet this weekend, I run across one little world of statistics fact that says, United States, 1960 median family income was $5,600. Median cost of a house was $11,900. In 2023, the median family income is $70,700. The median cost of a house is $416,000. That's nice. It's got me feeling like, okay, that's great. Then I see a cost of living post in 1938. That's going to be good, right? Right. A new house was $3,900. Average income was $1,731 a year. New car costs $860. That's about a tire today. Average rent was $27 a month. Tuition to Harvard University was $420 a year. Movie ticket was 25 cents each. Gasoline, 10 cents a gallon. United States postage stamp, 3 cents. That was in 1938. The cost of living. Now, I will say this. Sugar, I guess, was 59 cents for 10 pounds. Milk was 50 cents a gallon. Seems a little steep. Ground coffee, 39 cents a pound. Bacon, 32 cents a pound. Eggs, 18 cents a pound. I don't know if these are correct or not. Sounds right. That's what the, that's what the post says. So it's got to be right. It's on the internet. Has to be right. Doesn't it? Correct. But I will say that looking at the differences of what happened back then from the 1930s to the 1960s to now in 2023 or 2024, actually, as I said, today is the 22nd of January, 2024. It makes me want to win the lotto. Okay, there were no winners. So just an update. Mega Millions. There's a drawing tomorrow, Tuesday the 23rd, for $262 million. $123.5 million cash payout. And the Powerball, which is $133 million, $63.9 million cash payout. Now, I did not win the jackpot along with anyone else, but I did win $11 on a lotto ticket. So, yeah, now how lucky do I feel? Yeah, you know how lucky I feel. I don't feel as lucky as Phil Hardy, who was on board an airplane. Yes, that's right, an airplane. A Virgin Atlantic airplane. A New York-bound Virgin Atlantic airplane. When he was sitting there in Manchester, at Manchester Airport, and he looked down out the window and he was like, hey, that looks like some of the fasteners are missing on the wing there. And he decided, I probably should say something. Yeah, you think so? He said he's a great flyer, but he was not loving. And, his partner that he was traveling with was kind of freaking out. And so I thought, hey, maybe I ought to mention to the flight attendant. Yeah, you probably should. Excuse me, flight attendant, sky waitress. Yo, baby doll, come here. Hey, look out this window here. That doesn't look right. It looks like there's a bunch of screws missing off the wing. What is happening with our airlines? So the flight attendant was like, oh, yeah, maybe I ought to let somebody know. So the engineers came out, and they started looking at the old wing, and they decided, we're going to go ahead and... We're going to go ahead and cancel this flight, postpone the flight. They put new little screws in, and they were tinkering around with a little bit, but according to the airline staff now, there was no safety issue with the wing. But you know what? Maybe we ought to just, we'll wait. We'll wait and we'll catch another flight. Yeah, you know what? All of you, go ahead and get off the plane now, and we'll get another flight. Now, I guess everything's fine. If you say so, they claim each of those panels have 119 fasteners, so there was no impact to the structural integrity or load capability of the wing. The aircraft was safe to operate. As a precautionary measure, the aircraft underwent an additional maintenance check, and the fasteners were replaced. Oh, that's special. That is special. Passengers were, rebooked on another flight. Yeah, we'd like to apologize to our customers for the delay to your journeys. But, thank you for flying Virgin Atlantic. Yeah, no problem. Good to go. Thank you, my man, Phil Hardy, for pointing out an issue with the wings. He could have just looked the other way, and you never know. I don't know. I could not have looked the other way. I mean, you look out the window and you see, screws missing from the wing. You have to say, yo, somebody want to get me the pilot or the co-pilot or the head, the purser, whoever's in charge of you sky waitresses. Now look out this window here. What do you see? What do you see? I don't see anything. It looks like a wing. I know. What do you see on the wing? Oh, it looks like there's some holes. That used to be where screws went. Maybe we ought to fix that. Oh, everything is fine, sir. Don't worry about it, okay? Everything is fine. It's not going to impact the structural integrity or load capability of the wing. Okay. But, just in case. Just, out of an abundance of caution. And we're going to go ahead and get you off of this plane and get you onto a new one. Holy cow. It really is concerning for those who fly. The airlines have really got to be struggling these days, because between how the TSA acts and how the airlines are doing, it's become more and more of a nightmare to fly. And you can quote me on that. And maybe it's time that we just get rid of the airlines. If they can't do, we'll let the free market work. I saw a big post by Dan Crenshaw, the congressman from Texas, and he was whining about how the TSA treated his wife and his dog, and he's got video of it, and how then they were both treated poorly, and how bad they treated him even after they knew who he was, and, how the, they have their crossing guard mentality, all of them, the TSA and the airlines. And then Dan is talking about new legislation. No, I don't want new government legislation. You know what I want? I want you to just stop flying. Okay, let's put them out of business. Let the free market work. We don't need more government regulations. I'm sorry that your wife and your dog and they got treated poorly and the TSA sucks. Welcome to America, Dan. But we don't need more government regulations. You can quote me on that for damn sure. So now I'm getting all wound up. I don't know if I want to give you my final little self-help post or the joke of the day. I'm not real sure. Maybe I'll do them both. Maybe we need them both today on this Monday, this freezing cold Monday around the United States. They're freezing cold around the world. Climate change, damn it. All right, so there's a self-help post that I saw this weekend that really I like a lot. It's actually a tremendous self-help plan. Okay. And then there's also a joke for the day that I've been laughing at for the last 4 days. I have to share it with you. I have to. I appreciate you listening to Chewing the Fat. And I appreciate you following me on social media at JeffyJFR on Twitter, Jeff Fisher Radio on Instagram and Facebook. You can follow me on my YouTube channel, Chewing the Fat with Jeff Fisher. You can order a cameo from me. That's not free, but you go to cameo at JeffyJFR or Jeff Fisher on the website, and you can order a cameo. Just tell tell me what you want. Happy, sad, glad, mad, or mean. Happy to do it. And everybody comes away with, as everybody comes away as a winner. That's what Cameo does. But I've been laughing at this joke for days. So I'll give you the self-help and I'll give you the joke all in one today because because that's who I am. All right. I give and I give and I give. All right. So here's the self-help. Do you want the same? All right. We'll do the self-help first. Self-help. How to stop time. Kiss. How to travel in time. Read. How to escape time. Music. How to feel time. Write. How to release time. Breathe. I absolutely thought that was tremendous. I don't know who wrote it. I don't know who is responsible for it, but that is fantastic. So if you're having struggles in your life, how to stop time, kiss. How to travel in time, read. How to escape time, music. How to feel time, write. How to release time, breathe. It doesn't say anything, though, about how to spend some of your day with chewing the fat, and so that has to be rewritten, I think. All right. Yeah, that has to stop. We've got to put chewing the fat in there. I mean, everybody wastes time, so that's how, you know, how to stop time, how to travel in time, how to escape in time, how to feel time, how to release time, how to waste time. Listen to chewing the fat. All right, I'll give you the joke of the day tomorrow. All right, well, you'll have a joke of the day tomorrow. I can't do the joke of the day after I give you self-help like that. It just wouldn't be right. And you know me. You know me. Always doing things right.
Stream and subscribe to more Blaze Media content at theblaze.com/podcasts.